This is Gavana Rama. We are back on the air. I am so excited to bring you guys tonight Steve Pecan. He's been on the show before. You guys know his music very well. But recently, he has been nominated for Best Musical Artist by the 2018 International Christian Film and Music Festival with his song 99. You just heard that. The CD is called, it's called The Project 99. There you go. That's the album. This guy is a prolific. I'm taking off my glasses, you guys. I can't see with them or without them. This is Mr. Man, there's always a problem. Where's the Windex? That fixes everything, I hear. Okay. Steve is a prolific artist whose musical expression from the past, present, and current events will leave you examining your beliefs, trying to understand the world around you, and making sense of it. That's what his music does for us. Let's bring him in. Just open up his mic. There you go, Mr. Man. Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, Steve. How are you?
Good, Marta. How are you?
Really well, really well. Can you hear us okay? We haven't checked this out in a few months, so we're dusting off the microphone here at Gavana Rama radio station. Mr. Man, stop with the dusting.
I'm hearing perfectly well. Yes, I even hear the dust rag moving across the furniture there.
Oh, wonderful. He was wondering if everything was going to go okay because different, you know, they update stuff all the well. He's a computer guy. He knows his stuff. That's why we have him. Mr. Man, he's making face. I wish he would speak, Steve. One of these days we're going to have to crack the whip and make Mr. Man speak. But tell me, he's eager. He wants to listen to you. He knows all about the show tonight because he's here. He's ready. And he wants the music. Tell us about this project. This is really cool. You were nominated for Best Musical Artist for this International Film and Music Festival. Is this in Florida, in Orlando?
Yes, it's Orlando. Actually, it essentially starts tomorrow and runs through Saturday night.
Awesome. So how did you get involved with that? How did you find out about it and get involved, and how was the process where you were nominated?
Well, I had been compiling a number of songs that I wanted to put into a completed project because it had been a couple of years or so since I had finished one. And in the process of doing that, I was working with a young man who is an actor in Christian film, and he's also a singer-songwriter. And so he approached me and wanted somebody to produce him. And so I took him on, and we started that back in August. And along the way, he had it mentioned to him. He's well aware of this anyway, but he had mentioned to him that he should enter one of his songs into this festival. And when I heard that, I thought, "Oh, what the heck? I'll throw one of mine out there too." And so at that point, I actually had 99 lyrics composed and just a little bit of background music, but I really hadn't completed it. So I completed that song and put it out there, and I found out within, I don't know, probably a couple months of that, which would have put us around Christmas or so, a little after Christmas, I think, that the song was selected, which isn't nominated, but selected. So, and then within a week or so, they announced nomination. So I thought, well, I guess I better finish my project. Because I didn't really want to have just a single, although there's a lot of my material that's on streaming sites, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music, et cetera, YouTube. So it's all out there, but I really wanted a cohesive project that kind of represented this theme a bit wrapped around the song that you just played, not entirely, but somewhat. And so I kind of started grabbing up my songs and said, gosh, I had a lot more done than I realized, and I had to narrow it down to 13 songs on the project, but I easily could have put about 18 or 20 on there, but I decided that 13 was enough. So I entered it in, and it was nominated, and ironically and thankfully, the young fellow I'm talking about, his name is Jared Withrow, and also, his song that was entered was nominated as well. So I had two songs that came out of my studio down here that got into this festival. It's pretty exciting for us.
That is exciting. And this isn't necessarily news for us to listen to you playing gospel-type music, is it? You've done this type of work before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this maybe more, not as concentrated in my other projects, because I've done some military projects which had more concentration of that. I did one where I had kind of my youth and reflection on my grandkids, my grandboys and stuff like that. Again, with some songs reflecting my Christian faith, in the lyrical content, some a little more obvious than others, but I guess if you given the song you just played and you look through the lyrics, I'm just a matter of artistry, I guess. I like writing lyrics that aren't so obvious to the listener. I like them to kind of figure them out, and such as it is here, this is a very Christian themed song. But I guess you got to listen to really understand that, and I like to write that way. I like to leave something for the listener to uncover.
Right. And what was it that inspired you to write this song, 99, this particular song?
Yeah, good question. I guess I'd first start with, the idea that it's almost kind of like a current cultural thing that led me to this, if you will, kind of a mixed bag here. But first of all, I guess I should touch on what 99 is. And at the core of it is the parable that Jesus taught about the lost sheep and the 99 that the shepherd left in. Gated up, if you will, protected while the shepherd went off looking for this one lost sheep. Of course, the question is posed within that parable, why wouldn't the shepherd just simply forget about the one? Because after all, he has 99.
Right.
Of what value is that one? And that's the whole point that the parable makes, is that one lost one is very precious because they're all precious. And so anyway, that's the parable. But my thinking also on that was, gee, isn't that kind of like what it's like in our world these days? That, and I don't necessarily mean it in a religious context alone, but I also mean it in a familial one. So, mm-hmm. You know, who among us, you may be able to say this, I certainly can, that doesn't have family members that are estranged from the family or, mm-hmm. you know, some friend that they've long lost, or, you know, it's kind of a sad reality of the world that we live in, but the story of the parable, I think, kind of turns that on its head in a way, and they say, well, you know, we may have that brokenness, but there's hope. There's hope mm-hmm. in that brokenness that families experience, and there's hope in those who are lost in a religious spiritual context too. That there's hope that they don't have to remain there. You know, there's hope that an estranged family member doesn't have to remain outside the family if only some bitterness can be set aside and people can be forgiving and loving once again, that, you know, we don't have to live in that world. And 99 basically, I guess, lyrically as it sits in its more pure form, is really talking about the religious context, and that is that in Christ we have a loving God, which is very unique in the sense of broader religious views. If I'm one who studies about other religions and understand them and respect others, but there's something very unique about Christianity, and what's very unique about it is wrapped up in this story. We have a God who is loving, who's all forgiving, who puts out a call to everybody, and it's really up to us to receive that call to believe or not, and it all comes down to belief. But you know, that to me is the beauty of this story. You get this picture of this shepherd, and he's, you know, he's calling. It's not the sheep's not looking for the shepherd so much as the shepherd's looking for the sheep. Mm-hmm. And that's the picture. You know, you've got Jesus essentially who's reaching out to those people who really, really need to be called out of this world that they may live in, whatever it may be. And they really need to know a loving Savior, a loving God that will forgive them for whatever may be in their past. It may be little or a lot, who knows? But in our Christian faith, the quantity doesn't matter. You know, God doesn't concern himself with that. He only concerns himself with our desire to be received. And God, in the Bible, it says that God desires that all people, virtually all people that he ever created, would come to salvation. And I think that's beautiful. It's in a loving way it's presented, not a judgmental way, not a God of wrath, you know, a God who's ready to, you know, ready to destroy you. Or this is a God of love.
Right.
He's a God who loves, and he tries to appeal to us through love. And 99 is, it's that. If I can quote some of this just to drive the point home a little bit in the second verse. No, make that the third. It says, a love that stops with no conditions, beginning, but it has no end, without end. Though the lost ones deep have fallen, you meaning Jesus, God, you invite them in. So it doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, the depth of falling, the depth of sin, how distant we may be from God, it's not an issue. God calls anyway. He wants us to enjoy all that comes with that. And it's not just eternal life. It's what happens in this world too.
You know, you mentioned just now distant from God. That is, and when we talk about families, in the context of being in the bosom of the family, it's almost impossible for people to be close to their families if they're not even close to God. It just do you think that's possible? It seems like they are, but they seem to me to have sort of an empty, shallow relationship. If God isn't in your relationship with whoever you are, if it's your children, your husband, your mother-in-law, your sister, your brother, your mother, then I don't think that you can have the kind of love that is necessary to keep our relationship going. And I say this because I was raised in the church too. I was taught that you love and you respect, and boy, you have loyalty. That's one of the things. God is a loyal God. He's a jealous God. And when you love him, you only love him. And I think as human beings, we also desire the same things that God desires. We want honesty. We want loyalty in the family. When there is division within the family, and as you mentioned earlier in the show, this is a very, very sad subject, I think, when people break off from the family for whatever reason, jealousy. And sometimes, Steve, people don't talk for 20 and 30 and 40 years just for stupidity. And I say that, I can actually say that because I have relatives in my own family who have decided to do that, especially after we have grown up in the church. So I don't understand.
Well, I think you're touching on a very accurate point and one that's worth unwrapping a little bit too. And that is that you just said that you have family members within the context of being raised in the church who are separating. So I think for the benefit of those who may be listening in, who may not share in my faith or your faith, that it wouldn't be accurate to suggest that simply being in the church is a remedy to having good family relationships. It certainly should have an effect, but as you just said, you observe it within the context of faith and religion too. So I think, Marta, what that really speaks to is that even believers, you know, even people who really do have a deep faith in God, can be prone to, you know, animosities and bitterness and things like that that get in the way of good relationships. And so that's, of course, not good. You know, and God is there to offer up healthier relationships for us if indeed we're really well-rooted and we're living Christ-like with one another, then we're not likely to experience that. But we know that that's not always true. And I think the reason that it's not true is because as well as being Christian and faithful people, we're also sinners. You know, we're also flawed right. human beings, and we make mistakes. And, you know, yeah, I experienced that in my family, and I can look around and see other families, just like you said, and see that. And in the end, it's like, well, you know, we're flawed, and these things take hold. And sometimes you're right; they go on for not years, but decades.
Right.
But the bottom line for me is that despite all of that, isn't it wonderful? You're saying sad subject, and it is. But the end of the story is the beauty, and that is that God forgives it all if we'll just, you know, respond to His calling on our hearts. He'll forgive it all. It doesn't even mean necessarily that relationships will be healed. But the beauty is that God can forgive us, and through that we sometimes are led to healing in those relationships, and maybe sometimes not. But the fact that God can, you know, and Jesus died on the cross specifically to wipe away the sins of all people on the entire earth for all of time. Is the real story. You know, it's there. There is where true forgiveness and love happens, and that's at the seat of the throne of God. And otherwise, it'd be pretty hopeless for everybody, wouldn't it? I mean, if you thought, we could start picking apart every little thing that's wrong with me and you and everybody around us and say, well, gee, how could God love me? Well, that's a good question, but he does. He does, and he's forgiving, and all it takes is just receiving him, you know, professing him as Lord and Savior of our lives, and yes, wanting and desiring to make change, and you know, it certainly changed my life over years, but there are other people I know who are really devout and strong believers, but it hasn't necessarily changed everything in their lives. It's you know, that's just the way it is. We're human beings.
Right. And you know, sometimes we hear all you have to do is think positive and pray. And a lot of times Christians become disappointed, or I don't know what the word would be. We're expecting God to fix. Like you said, he can, sometimes all he does is just forgive us because we have free will. And so human beings do whatever human beings do. God may not be so happy with our choices, but he's there to support us. So when you go about your music and writing and explaining God in the lyrics and feeling him and trying to tell people about his plan for mankind, what is that plan? What is the plan, Steve? If people are hurting and people don't know where to turn, and as you mentioned, there's division in families and all of the negativity that can go on with, you know, dissonance in families, how can we look to God? And, you know, it's just like when I see a family that loses a child and they say, we still have faith in God. God took our child and it's in heaven and he needed a little angel. I don't understand the pain. I've never understood it.
Well, let me first say for anyone who's listening, I'm not a theologian. I'm a believer. and I'm a writer, you know, so,
yes.
I certainly don't come here professing to have answers to such deep questions for people who have faced, trials that I haven't. So I don't even know if I dare to answer that, because the idea that somebody, could have experienced a loss of a child or something like that, it's just to me, it's just like unfathomable for me, because I've not been there and I've not walked in their shoes. But only to repeat what I said earlier is that God wants to heal broken hearts wherever that may be, you know, or whatever that may be. God is there to and desires to heal our broken hearts. And he's, as the Bible says, he responds to the prayers of the fervent prayer, someone who fervently prayer, and not that God responds to all prayer, by the way, but it certainly says specifically that I'm sorry, but I'm unable to quote it specifically, but it just basically says that God is hearing those prayers of someone who prays fervently, and someone who prays fervently generally is probably going through a lot of pain and experiencing a lot, but back to the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. It's like, oh yeah, it's kind of like, where do you turn? Well, you can turn to God, and God will listen. And there's great comfort in knowing that you can actually just, you know, go in your room. They call it your prayer closet, and close the door and, you know, cry out your heart and open up to God. And he really listens. I don't just say that, loosely. I believe and know it with all my heart that we have a God who loves his creation. I mean, after all, in my belief and what is taught, he created us. He created you. He created me. He created everybody. So it would be kind of weird if he didn't love what he created, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
so
it would be kind of
so
odd.
We may not understand the pain, and when we see people going through pain, whether it is somebody's ill and going through cancer, you know, whatever situation that friends out there that they may be experiencing and going through, just know and have the faith that God is there? I know it's those are hard questions. You know, I used to have those questions when I was a little girl going to church, and I remember the pastor always saying, "You just have to have faith, Marta. You just have to have faith."
Right.
But I also, you know, I'm the type of person that I always, when I see someone hurting, I feel like I feel their pain, and so I want to be in there helping and encouraging and loving. If a friend is going through issues and trouble, and boy, it's hard sometimes to speak of God and say, you know, he's there. As you're saying, although I know that instinctively, but when someone is going through so much, and sometimes there's people that say, you know, I don't know if I can take all of this. I don't know, you know, the issues that come up, that God is actually taking care of it. But we just have to have faith. I did a show a few years ago, and it was it was not intended to be what it was. We ended up having a caller who told us that her husband had committed suicide because of all he was having a lot of pain in his back and was not able to get a good doctor. And the reason why I like to go deep into these subjects when we talk about God is because I know people are out there and they're hurting, they're feeling exactly the things that I talk about. And I know a lot of times they're wondering, where is God? Some people may be thinking of suicide. And that is just never the answer for issues and, you know, pain. Because God does. I had a friend that I went looking for her a couple of years ago and found out that she was no longer with us. And that was very painful. Just losing people that you love because they don't feel the love, and then they take their lives. That is, to me, that is insane. But that's not what the subject is about this evening. We're talking about, I went the other way, Steve. You got to bring me back. I mean, seriously, God is great. But I've just been thinking about, I've been praying and thinking about a few people that are on my mind that are going through a lot. And I just, you know, I feel for them. But we know that God is great, and we have to have faith, and we may not understand.
Right.
Where
how can we understand the mind of God? Yeah, well, that's very scriptural.
Right.
We cannot fathom or understand the mind of God. And that is indeed where it goes to being faithful and trust God. But I do want to add to that, though, because sometimes I think there could be a tendency that a perspective of faith is where the emphasis goes. Like I have to be a person of faith, and I'm not discounting that at all. Faith is certainly critically important, but also what's critically important is that we're really familiar with the God it is that we believe in and who it is that we're putting our faith in. And so, and of course the beauty of this God that I talk about, the God of the Bible, is that he gave us, 66 books in the Bible. How many ever books? I don't know if I have that number right. I think it's 66, but there's many. There's many books in the Bible, and I can tell you that immersion into God's Word, it's a guarantee that if we'll spend even just 15 minutes a day just walking our way through that Bible, we will become ever closer to God, and we will understand his nature better by having done so. I can't emphasize that enough. I've learned that maybe a little later in life than I wanted to, and I am a very, very faithful to read and to do it often. But I wish I would have been so motivated 10 or 20 years ago as I am today, because I'm realizing how important that is to really, really deeply have an understanding of what the whole story of the Bible is, because it's a story, and it runs from beginning to end, and And as you know the Bible, you realize, well, it's not just a bunch of chapters and books that were thrown together. It's a very cohesive book that tells a very long story, and at the culmination of that story is a God who loved us so much that he came down to this earth in the form of Christ and was on the cross and died there for the sins of the entire world, and then rose victoriously 3 days later to demonstrate that that's the hope, that he has power over death, that he didn't remain in the grave. He came out of the grave. And that was done for our benefit, so we could see, oh yes, you know, life doesn't end here. It goes on. And God demonstrated that through raising Jesus from the dead. So, you know, the more you read, the more you understand. The more you understand, well, why did he end up on the cross to begin with? And if, you know, you read the Old Testament, it becomes more clear. He ended up there because of his promise to Abraham and the way the Israelites had struggled with their relationship with God and how they went between evil behaviors and then truly trying to seek God and just went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And finally, the resolution to that problem of the Israelites and the relationship between them and God was resolved with the coming of Christ. You know, they couldn't sacrifice enough lambs. You know, they couldn't sacrifice enough. They couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, if you will, with the priest to make up for all of their sins. And so that's why it was necessary for Jesus to come into the world and be that once for all. He died, that's scriptural now, he died once for all. So that was the end of those repeated sacrifices at the death and resurrection of Christ.
Now, you make the Bible sound fascinating when you speak of it. It's almost like I can see the pictures. But not every church is as fun, and not every preacher is fascinating to listen to. So if a person is trying to get into the scripture and trying to find a place where they can worship God and have it be a place where it's interesting and it's, how do they go about finding that church, would you say, that gives them that, you know, that fulfills that hunger that they have? Because not every church will do that.
Well, good question. But let's go back all the way to the earliest days of Jesus and, you know, his remaining 40 days here on earth after he rose and appeared before thousands and disciples, etc., right, for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven. Well, what happened after that? Well, then he started to have all of his disciples, and then Saul, who became Paul the Apostle, went about into the world in their area, and they just started preaching the gospel. So my point is that before any church, there were just simply those who were witnesses to what happened, and they went out and they spread that gospel throughout the world. And so I think it's good to remember that, because in our day and age, and it's been true for a long, long time, we can put a lot of emphasis on church. And I'm not here to tell you, I go to church faithfully, so I'm not saying that church isn't a good thing. Church is a good thing, but it's not a starting. It's not the sole starting point. Maybe a starting point for somebody, but I think that it's really important to know that a good church is great to be in, and it will support you. But really, the deepest connection anybody can have is going to be through prayer and through reading God's word, and through that prayer. I would suggest that God will lead you to that church. God will show you the church that would be best for you to learn and to grow. And for some people, that, you know, there's all kinds of churches out there. So, you know, who knows where that's at? I mean, I there's a lot of good churches. So, there's no one easy answer to that. But certainly pray. And certainly read God's word, and I would even say for those of us who can be a little bit on the lazy side of doing that, I love to go to what's called Bible Gateway. It's BibleGateway.com, and in there you can actually read the scripture, plug in your headset, or just turn on your computer speakers, and go wherever you want to go in the Bible, doesn't matter,
And I like to listen to a guy who's reading it to me. So I read and he reads to me and I get more out of it that way. But the guy I choose, his name is Max McLean. He's got a great voice. He's, you know, he's like that Charlton Heston kind of voice. You know, it's just a great voice. And he's reading through and his voice just kind of brings scripture to life for me. And so I spend a good part of my morning just kind of listening to that, and it's you know, God's going to put those things on your heart and your mind just by doing that. It's you'll soak it up like a sponge just because you're doing it. Even 15 or 20 minutes a day of just listening to the Word and reading the Word. From my experience and the experience of others, will have a powerful impact on what you learn and your knowledge, and certainly what may happen in your life too, or prepare you for the things you don't expect. You know, because you're growing in God and understanding Him.
Right. You know, I grew up in the church just as many of us did, but when we look at the world today, I don't see churches being a big part of people's lives. Even a lot of the people that grew up in the church, I feel, don't even go to church anymore. Sundays is just, you know, like every other day, because they no longer feel that God is in the church. You mentioned something very, very important, was to keep prayer, that the deepest relationship you have really is with God and with yourself. But how does a person get back if they desire that, besides the prayer, besides just having friends around, how do they get back to, or maybe they never had it, if they never had that training when they were young and they don't understand the Bible, and to get into it is like, you know, not as fun. How do you get into something, you know, religion to me is fun, but it is not for everybody. So how do we get people involved and passionate about the subject?
Well, we're only tools and vessels of God to begin with. I mean, we and I'm glad you put it that way. We can't do that. That's not our calling to do. What is our calling is just simply, that's kind of a, and it's not totally clear of an answer, so I want to make sure that that's clear for you. But God uses, I mean, look, Paul put it this way, Apostle Paul, and I just heard this the other day, and he says, Paul, plant the seed, and my friend Apollos, I think it is, he waters. And he says, but then God makes it grow. And then he asks a really interesting question. But who is Paul? And who is Apollos? Well, they're nothing at all. See, so it's really an interesting introspection about how it works. It's because in our faith, in following Christ, God can use me, but in the end, I'm just a vessel through which he may choose to work on the hearts of other people, but if I were to think, well, gee, I really led Marta to Christ, okay? First of all, that's a lie, because I didn't. The Holy Spirit and God did, number one. And number two, what that leads to is the belief that somehow there's something so good about me that you would want to follow my advice and my teaching. And that's not what God wants. Uh-huh. He wants us to look to the cross. He wants us to look to God. So how do we do it? Well, you know, we certainly can witness our faith and certainly speak to it. And I would say probably most importantly is just be there. You know, somebody has a need, be there. And they'll see that Christian heart and spirit in you. And maybe an opportunity then comes up to read the Word of God or say, gee, I'm praying for you, or pray with them. Those are the things that kind of convey who's on our hearts and who's working through us. But we always give glory to God for anybody. The angels in heaven, are just applauding, if you will. I, it's not the right characterization, but anytime a person turns to God and professes the name of Christ and receives the call and have become genuinely Christ followers, the angels in heaven rejoice. That's the word. They rejoice. So it's a beautiful thing.
And following God doesn't mean that we're perfect, as we mentioned before. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be wonderful and beautiful, and that's why we want to follow Christians and Christianity, because we're not. We're imperfect. But, boy, there's so much joy.
Yeah.
There is so much joy in God, even when life throws you melons.
right, yeah. Well,
melons,
you know, Marta, that's really a profound point you make there too, because, you know, you're absolutely right. It's like, no, it's the opposite. You say, well, it doesn't make you what it really does is when we start to really understand who we are as it relates to our Creator, we really start to have a better understanding that we're not becoming more perfect. It exposes our flaws, you know.
Yes.
Knowing God is it's kind of looking into the law, as it says. If you look into the law and you look into the laws of God, what does it do? Well, it exposes our sin, you know. Thou shalt not kill.
Right.
Well, kill's a broad word. What does it mean, not shall kill? Well, you're killing somebody when you slander them, or it's a broader word than that, or you shall not steal. Or you look through the Ten Commandments and say, gee, how many of these have I broken? Well, the laws are there to expose the sinful nature that we exist in, and therefore put our dependence where it belongs, because there's nothing I can really – I mean, I can live better. I can work toward living better, but in the end I can't be forgiven short of turning to Christ. So – yeah, it doesn't make us more perfect. It just kind of reveals who we are.
Yes, and it is a constant struggle, I think, to walk the walk. I want to say it's a struggle,
mm-hmm.
but in a way it's an easy struggle. It's easy because it's something that you want to do. When you want to please God, it's, you know, doing the wrong thing doesn't feel right. It just gives you anxiety. It negative stuff. So you want to do what's right because it makes you happy, makes God happy, and it makes life a heck of a lot easier, I think. I remember going to church when I was a child and sitting there for hours with my mom and my brother and my little sister, and I remember being so bored to death, just bored to death. Because when you're little, what do? You just kick your feet and listen. But, you know, Steve, I listened, and I remember all the lessons. And as an adult, I look around, and I look at people that are lost, and sometimes I feel that they don't have, not that I'm better, but I have something that has sustained me through the years and through chaos in my life. A lot of people know that I came from a communist country, and living in a communist country for 10 years was not an easy task. And I can say with all certainty that if God was not in my life, even as a young child, I don't know what would have happened to my family, because when you live in a communist country, a lot of kids can get parents in trouble for speaking the wrong thing. Like in America today, people are afraid to say the wrong thing for being labeled one way or another. But, you know, it's something. The Bible does give you some stronghold, something to hold on to. When there is no husband, when there is no father, when there is no state, when there is no sister, when there is no brother, when there's nothing around, no one around, the only thing you have is the Bible, is God, and the things that you have learned. And in the quiet, in the solitude of your soul, you could be in a prison. Like, who was that with the lions? My daughter and I was that Daniel in the lion den?
Yeah, Daniel in the lion's den. Yeah.
Yep. My daughter and I were talking about that story the other day, and these stories are so good because they help in times of struggle for us. I think that's the beauty of them, that they're there, and we can look at our lives and see that, you know, there isn't anything that God can't handle. All our problems are so much smaller than the things that we read in the Bible. Boy, I can't even imagine walking through water.
If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, that's the that's how it's stated, and that's such a great promise. Like, yeah, when all else fails, God's still for me. God still is there. You know, why don't we do this real quick while I'm thinking of it too? This is kind of a double meaning song, but why don't you load up "Believe in Me"? That would shift gears a little bit, but load up that.
Yes.
It kind of segues pretty nicely into what we're talking about here.
Okay, awesome. I was going to ask you, which song should we play? Because I know I want you guys to listen to a few, take a little listen on the music here.
I'll set you up real fast too. I actually asked my pastor if this sounded misconstrued in a way, because this has kind of a double meaning. But imagine, if you will, this song when you hear it, about a child who's actually saying the words of this song to his parent. That's a good perspective, and then we can take it from there.
Okay, sounds good. We'll be right back. This is "Believe in Me."
Try to climb over
is. Nice melody. Very nice.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful song. How long did it take you to create this whole CD?
I mean, there's a number of songs that I wrote some time ago, but I guess most songs I've written within the last year.
Wow, you have been busy since we talked last time.
I have been, yeah. I since we talked last time, I've probably got 25 more things in the hopper. But that's the nature of, you know, you just go and go. I have the blessing of having a lot of free time these days. I entered into a kind of an early retirement a while ago, and it's enabled me to spend more time writing. And I do run my own studio, so yeah. So I have all the tools right here in my basement, so it's nice.
That is so cool. That is so nice, Steve, to be able to do the things that you love later on in life and have the youth and the energy and the vitality and the desire to put it all together and to do. Your kids and your wife must just be in awe of, like, Dad, and my husband is just the coolest guy. Joining all these things and doing, I'm proud of Mr. Man. He does different things. He's not a musician, but he's, you're laughing. Mr. Man is laughing. He knows what I'm talking about. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is really cool stuff that you're doing. How does your family react to what Dad is doing?
Well, my family's very supportive. We go down this week to Florida. My wife and two of my four daughters will be there with me, and that'll be really nice. And Wednesday will be the showcase for the musicians, the part that I'm taking part in, and there will be 16 of us. So I felt really good about being blessed to be able to do that. And at this point, Marta, it's nice. First of all, it's wonderful to have my family support, and I do. And
yes.
Now I just hope that when I go that I'm able to deliver this 99 song with excellence. You know, God will determine the outcome of that, but I just want to be able to do it so the message comes through, because that's the whole point. That's why I wrote it. You know, that's where my heart is with it, and I want to keep that in mind, that it wasn't about a contest, you know, or an award. It was first and foremost to tell a story that reflects God and His nature and our loving God. So I come Wednesday around between 4 and 6 o'clock. If you're a prayerful lady, and I think you are, then well, you can pray that I just can perform with excellence, and that's all I care to hear. Yeah.
We will definitely be praying, and you will do just fine. I know you will. I keep looking at all of these songs, and let's hear some more, and tell me some stories. I love the stories that you always have behind the songs, and like, as you mentioned, when you talk about faith stories, or I think last time when you were on the show, you told us a story about, I think it was your father-in-law. I can't remember now, but you're always full of stories, and I love them, especially when we talk about the music and what inspires you, which each particular song, what does the song mean? What does it mean to you? What does it mean? You know, what is it that you want people to take from it? So what would, we know 99 is a very special song because it talks about the one sheep that is no longer in the fold, and the shepherd is out looking for that sheep. So we love that song. You guys, you need to go find it. Where can they find your music and purchase it and get it on their phones or their
just go to myname.com. StevePecan.com, and that'll take them right to the 99 Project. So they'll see all the songs there. If they want more music than and other things that you've had on your program, then they can go to Spotify and type in my name, and they'll find pretty much all of my material there. YouTube currently has the project on it too, but I'd say the best place to go is just www.steve, S-T-E-V-E, then my last name, PICHAN.com, stevepican.com. It'll take you right to the project.
Okay, great. Awesome.
And from there, you can go wherever. You know, you can go to Spotify and purchase, or you can go to Amazon. And for that matter, you can go to YouTube and just listen to it all if you want. But if you want the whole project and you'd like to have it on your device, then there's opportunities to do that there.
Yes. Now, I'm looking at the beginning of Forever. For some reason, that sounds familiar to me. Did you have that song in? Yeah,
I'm glad that we're on the same wavelength there. I was just going to tell you that, and the reason I want to do that, I don't know if you have the lyric sheet in front of you, but that song was written. This is a wonderful story, and I credit my mom for the inspiration and some of the ideas and thoughts, because in 1999, at the not so old age of 73, my dad passed away. He had contracted a hepatitis C virus. I'm pretty sure I've got that right. And it lied dormant for a long time, but eventually it just wore away at his body. And I think he contracted it probably when he was 48 from a heart surgery. And then by the time he was in his early 60s, he needed another surgery. I mean, you know, he lived a healthy life, all of that. And he golfed and everything was good, but he ended up not having a long life like we would like to have seen. But anyway, my mom is now 89, and thankfully she's still with us, and she's doing pretty well. But she just, if you want to talk to mom about anything that she really wants to talk about, well, let's talk about dad. And so, you know, it's a common conversation, reflections of dad. And she, this past Christmas before, she got a picture of my mom and of her and my dad when my dad was going off to World War II. And there's a picture of them standing in front of a car, and you know, they just look like young lovers of the day, and it's a great picture. And she copied that picture for all of my daughters, and hand scribed at the bottom of that the beginning of Forever, and it was just really touching, and the kids love it.
Yeah.
So my mom asked me if I would write a song, and even asked me if I'd use that as the title. And so that's where it started. I have to credit her. It was the starting point, and it's usually the starting point that makes everything else go easy for me. But it kind of tells her life story. It begins off with where they met, but then it kind of goes through their life, and I hope in very visual but tender and loving ways.
So beautiful. Let's go ahead and listen to it.
Getting all for the beginning of forever. Love forever true. I'd do it all again, only just with you.
Wow, what a beautiful song, and to think it's a love song. And your dad got to hear this. Your dad never got to hear this one, did he?
No. I wrote that within the last couple of years.
Yeah, that is wow. So the stories that you have learned from your mom are, I just can't imagine how valuable they must be to look at pictures, to have her dig out memories and tell you and the whole family, this is where I was, this is where your daddy was, this is where grandpa was. And to have that history, how wonderful of the way of the American life used to be back in the days.
Yeah, it's so important too for us, for those of us who have parents that are at that stage in life, elderly, and their minds necessarily and understandably go back to good times that they remember, and they want to talk about those things. And you know, sadly, sometimes people don't have anybody to talk about or talk with about those things. And it's so important for us to remember as children that that's a very valuable gift we can give to our parents. It's just a listening ear, and just let them talk about those things, because they should be very meaningful, not only to the parent, but also to the child. Those things are meant to live on.
Right. It's the history. I remember when I was a child in Cuba, all the old ladies and the men used to play dominoes, the old folks, you know, once they retired. But the older ladies used to get together and have coffee in the evenings and watch the news together or watch a movie, and the kids used to play. And we used to listen to them tell stories, and boy, was that nice. I missed it so much. People don't tell stories like they used to, stories of, you know, how to learn how to do things. And you used to learn so much from grandpas and grandmas, and now everybody's busy, or sometimes they don't live in the same state. So we don't have the same support system in some ways that we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when your mom was raising you, I would assume life was. Do you think it was easier, Steve? Sometimes I say it is, though I wasn't really around in the 50s.
No,
or 40s,
it was.
But
it
I
was.
Think it was easier.
Yeah, it was. It was simpler. Yeah. It was just simpler. That's all. And it was. I mean, I'm old enough to remember that it was really kind of shocking when you heard that somebody in your neighborhood or community or your church or whatever was getting a divorce. It was like, what? I mean, it's almost like unheard of. You know, I mean, admittedly, I grew up in a rural community, but it just wasn't something you heard of. And that changed so rapidly. And because it changed so rapidly, we should expect the obvious. You know, families are really important and undeniably important. And when you start to break down the family structure, I don't see how people can be as healthy or mentally or, you know, as happy. I just don't see how you can. Not to say that some people haven't achieved happiness outside of that, but it's certainly a lot easier in the context of a family that, you know, stay together, play together. There's clearly a lot lost without a good family structure.
Yes, I believe that too. Oftentimes you see it, especially when you are in schools, and then you see the children that don't have the two parents in the home. There's so many issues with society nowadays, and it seems to me that couples don't really fight for love anymore. They don't fight for their families. They just seem to, you know, just not have, they see it as a, there's a problem, they don't want to work on the problem, and it's easier to just throw the marriage away, throw the kids away, and then they're having to, you know, go back and forth on the weekends, and it's so sad to see families not trying so hard. And I just think if you go on to the next relationship, you're just having the same issues. It's just a different person.
You're adding a whole bunch of people into that too.
Yeah. Right.
It's like kind of like guess who's coming to dinner, you know?
That's funny. That is so true. But
you know, Marta, if I may, as it relates to what we were talking about with my mom, though, I just reflect on a few things. Like, well, I did a video on that. It's on Vimeo, and if you ever look up the beginning of Forever, you may see that video. It's still there. But it all the pictures of my mom and us as family, it's all there, and the song is there to accompany that. But the stories that they tell are so rich. That young love that they experience is one that endured. You know, you're talking about how people don't stick it out, you know, and they'll just decide to depart for reasons that seem like they might be trivial, or they won't work bigger problems out. But boy, in my mom and dad's generation, it's like, no, they just stay together, you know, and sometimes things were hard and sometimes they weren't, but they enjoyed the benefits of having stuck together. And the family enjoyed those benefits too. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's changed.
You know, and it's wonderful to see the children and see grandma and grandpa together at the end of life. How wonderful to see them together. There's nothing like a family. That's all you have, really. Especially, you see it in countries where they're devastated by war and people are fleeing. You see these families, they stick together. It's amazing how, if not just families, but like whole little neighborhoods of clans of people just, you know, faithful and loyal to each other because they have to be. I think that sometimes we get too comfortable with having so many choices and we just see them as their choices. But really, the only choice when a person is married is their mate. That is the only choice in my eyes.
Yeah,
I think in God's eyes as well. So those are things that learn, and I think makes it easier when you go to church in you're young, you're little, or when as you get older, you learn how to do things differently, how to keep families together. I do think that, Steve, being able to read the Bible and having scriptures to remind us of God's word when life is tough is so crucial. I don't know how I would have done it because I certainly go through those moments. I get very emotional when we talk about families because most of mine is in Cuba. We have some here in the U.S., but most of my family is in Cuba. So I always have, you know, the hardest time talking about it. And it will always be that way just because they're not here. I wish I would have grown around my grandma and my grandpas and, you know, the whole shebang and had the support of the church and all of that. But, you know, life is what it is. And the best that we can do is if you don't have a huge family, just you have a little family. Sometimes it's just yourself. Just stay in prayer. Go, you know, if you like church, find a good place where you can worship and create a family. I think sometimes we think that because we don't have a family or we don't have a family that loves us, that we're not lovable, and that is not true. We shall find friends.
Good point.
A place where that faith can be supported. If it's something that is inside of you, that you're thinking about it, just go for it. Because You know, learning about God, it's never late. Sometimes I think it's difficult for older people to learn new things, but you don't. I mean, learning about God is a joy, don't you think, Steve? At any age, really.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes what's really interesting is people who grow older and lived a life without any experience of having a faith or attending a church or whatever. I have a friend right now who just recently, with this past week, was baptized, and I think he's in his mid-50s. And he said
wow.
It was the best week of it. He said it was the best week of his life. So it's got to tell you something, you know, that, yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden you know everything, you're really knowledgeable. It's just there's something supernatural about that experience and that meeting God that way and you know, surrendering and deciding to believe. I think that does cause major change for people. So age doesn't necessarily mean a lot. You know, I came to faith as a kid, but I know a lot of people who didn't come to faith until they were much older. And I'm thankful that my parents raised me that way. You know, they did, and
yeah.
It certainly opened doors, but ultimately I had to decide too. I couldn't just go on the backs of my parents. I had to make a decision for myself to believe and to follow.
Oh, absolutely. Just like the Bible says, we have to be like children and
mm-hmm.
be like little children. What does that mean, be like little children, when the Bible says be like little children to receive God?
Trusting. It's trusting like you would your parent. A good parent, you just trust them, right? You don't ask – little kids don't ask questions of their parents whom they love, and they know their parents love them.
Yeah.
They just simply – accept what their parents say, you know, whatever it is, the advice they may give or the love they may share or whatever. A little kid doesn't, you know, a little kid responds and asks questions later, you know, because they're entering into a trust relationship. And so that's what the Bible is
right.
telling us to do, is you enter into that relationship knowing that God can be trusted. And then you'll grow from there and have greater understanding. But it does – I think all faith in God and all faith in Christ starts off as a child, where you just willingly decide, well, I have to take that step out in faith, and maybe I won't know everything now, but God will teach me over time.
Right.
Experiences will teach me. You know, I will learn, and but it's a beautiful thing when you see that.
Right, and the world can be a confusing world when we look at, you know, the Bible even says that in the end days, the things that were holy would be considered bad, and the things that were vile would be considered good. So it sometimes it's difficult, I think, if you've never had faith in God and raised more of a, you know, some people are more of an atheist type of belief system, where they just, you know, they believe in nature, they don't believe in whatever they believe in. I'm not knocking it, but you know what I'm saying, they don't have that faith, they don't have the knowledge, they don't have. And so becoming aware of the Spirit and how he moves in our lives, and how the miracles that he can create, it's really something. It's just taking
mm-hmm.
time, stepping back, start with prayer, and little by little, just see what happens. Little by little, we don't have to test God. We just test ourselves, test our faith, and give it a try. Give it a try.
Yeah,
there's so
yeah.
many wonderful songs here in your CD. Keep Believing. There's the Beginning of Forever, Wishing Life Away. We heard American. Can you tell me what is the word? What is that title of the song, American?
Well, I'll only speak to that briefly. I put it up there, and but it's politically based, and I won't
okay.
go too deep into that because I want it to be understood
yes.
from a bipartisan standpoint. But basically, the song American is indeed kind of looking to the view of our government that people have. And I think that this is true essentially across the board, that I just think that people realize that media and politicians, and so this can happen on both sides of the aisle, and we're just not hearing everything that we used to hear. We're being lied to.
Yeah.
There are things in particular, I think, that are happening that start from the head down and divide people. I think it's very sad how we've become more and more divided. And I think that politicians actually work their way up the ladder through divisive tactics. And it's really sad, you know, by dividing us racially speaking, that's one division. There's many divisions, of course, politically, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, and so on. We get labeled, and some of those labels make sense, but they become something more sinister, that we look at each other, that liberal, that conservative. And so people start to have really jaundiced-eyed views of other people, and it's dividing us as a country, and I just think that's sad. So essentially this song, without even having to go to the course, is Wake Up, American, Smell the Coffee, What's Happening, Find a Brother, Be a Friend, Take a Sister by the Hand, Wake Up and Look Around, Start Looking Up Instead of Down, Don't Be Divided by His Plan, whomever that might be, a politician or whatever, and Wake Up, American. So I'm trying to, in this song, draw the attention of, first of all, we're Americans. We're one people. Yes. That's the beauty of being American. And secondly, if you really want to be an answer to that, then find somebody you can call a brother or a friend who doesn't necessarily agree with you on all fronts. You know, take a sister by the hand. So reach out and be that person that you want to be, as opposed to, doing battle with people. And it's so easy to do. I've done it myself, and it doesn't feel good. I do much less of it these days, because it's like it's so much better to try to be neutral, or try to reach across the aisle, if you will, and just try to be friendly. And now when I'm together with people who may hold different views than I do about things, I've just learned not to go there. What's the point? You know, if it's going to end up being an argument or something, particularly if it's within family, and we certainly have differences within our own families, it's better to just remember that first and foremost, before we're liberals or conservatives, Democrats or Republicans, we're family. And we don't want to lose sight of that. Or we're Americans, however you want to put it. Isn't that more valuable than anything? Isn't that where
Absolutely.
We should find value in our unity?
Well, what I find ridiculous about arguing about politics is that, well, there's going to be a time that this president won't be a president, and then what are we going to argue about? The next president? You know?
Probably. Yeah, we need to get over ourselves, I think, and just take a look around and as I said, they're start looking up instead of down. So, this is a country of laws, and it's a democracy, and we vote, and we parties change and come and go, and just kind of breathe easy, you know, just take a breath, you know, I guess. And just let things be, because I certainly, being conservative-minded, I certainly wasn't overly happy with the last president. But I certainly have to say in retrospect that it didn't do me much good to get overly excited about the things that were happening that I didn't like, because there wasn't too much I could do about it, other than vote or, take some action. But at some point you have to accept that. That's where we are. It's okay. That's where we are. So let's move on with it. And more importantly, let's try to be good citizens and good to other people. And we can do so much more in our own community than we can ever do with what happens in the Beltway.
Exactly. In our own communities, in our own homes, in our own neighborhoods, we can be decent people to each other. And like you said, just you don't have to be a Christian to be a nice neighbor.
I don't ever want to convey that here, by the way, too. I don't believe for a minute that there aren't nice people who are atheists and agnostics,
right.
And you know, every other faith under the book, there certainly are. I mean, there are nice people all over the world. So you don't need to have to be Christian to be a nice person. A lot of people by nature are just very nice people. So you know, and there's a lot of mean people who happen to be Christians. it goes every way. And I'm certainly not here to, you know, use a broad brush on groups of people. I think there are nice people no matter where you go. If you look for them, you'll find them.
Should we end the show with Heal This Land? Because I think that's a great song.
Yeah, I'll let that play out. Now I'll conclude this way with you. I really appreciate that you've taken the time to chat with me and put my project for others to hear and for us to have such a nice conversation. And I wish you all the best. And I also pray that God will bless you immensely in the days and weeks and months and years to come.
Thank you. And I wish the same for you and your family, and the best during this weekend in Orlando for you and Jared. Good luck. The best of luck to you, too. I know you guys are going to do awesome. You're going to do awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
And it's a great project, Project 99. You guys can find it at stevepecon.com, stevepecan.com. Thank you so much, Steve. It was a wonderful conversation, and as always, always an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Marta. I really appreciate it. You take care.
Thank you. You guys have a wonderful evening, and stay so you can listen to the last song, Heal This Land, and go find it. Go get the whole CD. It's awesome.
Table, the light in her, she can't.
can't ignore how my heart hurt and broke in two for they silenced little lambs. The only thing I could say was, God, come down here and heal this land. Come down here and hold her hand. Come down here and heal this land.
Motivation with Amazon Music.
You're still in bed? Didn't you go running?
Oh, I overslept. I'll go tomorrow.
I'm getting in the shower.
Alexa, set an alarm for 5 a.m. tomorrow to Hard Rock Music.
Okay, I'm up.
The right song exactly when you need it. Amazon Music, the simplest way to listen to the music you love. New customers start your 30-day free trial at amazonmusic.com. Renews automatically, cancel anytime.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.